talking about hitting his thumb with the hammer. That's if I'd ever done anything like that. Actually, I did, but it wasn't. Wear back and hit as hard as I could, like he's talking about. But we used to have a friend named Tiny Trimble, and the church was there working on his house. I don't remember what we were doing, adding on to it or putting a roof on it, or what it was that we were doing so many years back. But Brother Tiny Trimble, we call him Tiny, he was about probably 360, 380. He's a big old guy. He worked at McDonnell Douglas, but he lived right off of the B-line at Highway 75 right there across from Mounds. And we were working there, and I hit my thumb too and smashed it with a hammer. And I guess it kind of touched his heart because I didn't really freak out about it or anything. And I guess it was just numb. Lord help me with it. But I didn't really have a lot of problems. I just kept on working, didn't think nothing about it. But it really touched him when we were there and how I handled it. But it was just the Lord's help. I don't take any credit for it, but God really helped me there at that time. But I also thank Sister Pepper for the songs she shared tonight and talking about how Jesus never lost a battle. And we do have a wonderful Lord, and I'm glad we're on the winning side. And we can look at the back of the book, know how it's going to end. And we don't have to worry, you know, as long as we stay faithful to the Lord. And my title tonight is Only Jesus. And these are kind of basic teachings here tonight that I'm sharing, but there's a whole lot of truth to each and every one of what I'm sharing. And you get to thinking about the verses that I'm going to share about how good God is. You know, it's just really amazing how our Lord is such a blessing to us. There's no one that can compare to our Lord, and he is really deserves all of our praise. And the first scripture I'm going to share is John 3:14. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And let's just look to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, to have you as our Lord. God, we are so blessed, Lord. We realize just how good you are to us, Lord, and we can't thank you enough, Lord. But I just want to praise you tonight, God, for all you've done for me, Lord, over the years, and let me be a part of your family, Lord, and the privilege, God, of serving you that we have here in the United States, Lord. We can come anytime freely, Lord, and we just thank you for that privilege. We give you the praise and the thanks for all you've done for us, Lord. What you're going to do here tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hope my voice holds up. I'm already kind of getting raspy. I've been breathing a lot of smoke today. But anyway, we've all heard the scripture about John 3:16, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But that is not an automatic thing. It's only to those that believe. And we got to trust him and have him as our Lord and Savior. And it says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And we can read back in Luke how a Savior was born. And he came to save the world, those that were lost. And we sang the song tonight, I am redeemed. It's only through the blood of Jesus. Thank the Lord for His wonderful, precious, holy blood. It's without sin. And you get to thinking about how precious God's Son was. You know, He had never done anything wrong. He never sinned. And if He had, you know, He couldn't have paid for our penalty for our sins, because He would have had His own to pay. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord. But I'm thankful for that gift that God gives us. We can't earn it. We can't get it by good works. We can't be good enough. We couldn't buy it. It's priceless. And I'm just thankful that God looked down even before the foundation of the world and seen that need. And He prepared, and He had that sacrifice there for us, the Lamb of God, to come and take our penalty for our sins. And Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we had that peace with the Father only because of what Jesus done. I think Sister Lindsay for sharing what she did too. You know, it's not anything that we can do or have done, but it's only what He has done. And He is that gift that no one can compare to what we have received from God. And John 3:36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So it's all about believing and trusting in what God has already done for us. And there's no other way that we can get to heaven other than through Jesus. Only Jesus, He is the way. He's that door into heaven. In Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we all need salvation. There's not a one of us that has not sinned. And Romans says 3:23 says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's not a single one of us that hasn't done something wrong in the past that would disqualify us from making it into heaven without Jesus coming and redeeming us and buying us back. And Jesus is the only nourishment. We can look in John 6:35 and it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And when we believe, we become a part of His family. I was thinking back when Brother Pepper was talking about, you know, that fellowship we have with the Lord. And I was thinking back when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I don't remember which, one or the other. I accepted the Lord. I can remember, I can see myself walking down the sidewalk at recess and lunchtime there at Killerville School. I was just in grade school with a friend, and I was just bubbling over with the joy of the Lord, you know, in my heart. It felt like I was just going to be raptured out of here, because, you know how it is when you first get saved. You're just on cloud nine. And that's what I had, that memory still of that day. And I can look back, and when I was around 16, when I accepted, not when I accepted Jesus, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was seeking for about a year or so, and I was just really desiring it. And one of my friends, Don, mine just went blank. His last name has been years ago. He was a plumber there in Mounds, but he's a big German guy. He reminded me of Brother Pepper. He was really stout. He could take a pair of pliers and squeeze them and break them things. And he was really strong. But he asked me that night when I came to church, you know, are you still seeking for the Holy Ghost? I said, yeah, you know, I am. I'd been doing so for a year or so, and like Brother Pepper said, when we get serious and we just yield to the Lord, then it's instant. You know, there's no seeking it. It's just there. But it's a learning experience sometimes to get to that point. But he asked me that, and that night I was filled. I danced around that congregation there, and, you know, I was just shouting and hooping and hollering, thought I was going to go through the ceiling. And I just had a wonderful time. And there's nothing that can compare. It felt like I got saved again, you know, that joy that come into your heart. And you know how it is when you see someone else receive the Holy Spirit, or when they get saved, you have that same feeling again, and it just comes alive in you. And I thank the Lord that we can have that relationship with Him, you know. And we don't, there is times, you know, we go through battles and we struggle, but there's other times we can look back, like I said, and remember the times when the Lord just blessed us immensely. We just couldn't contain it all. And John 15 and 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as you, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." And so we have to have that relationship, that abiding in Christ, and that nourishment comes from that fellowship with Him. And He meets our needs. And He is the only source of truth. We know the Bible tells us that the devil, he is a liar and the father of liars. But we can look just the opposite. Jesus is truth. And John 6 and 67. Says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And I was going to stop there, but Simon Peter said, "Where can we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. You have the truth." In John 8 and 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I'm thankful that we can put our trust in Jesus. Whatever he tells us, he's going to keep his word. He's not going to tell us one thing and do another. He's always been faithful, and we can trust him even with our very life. And we can go to him with our needs, and we can share things with him that we can't tell anyone else. And he knows our heart even before we come to him, what our need is. But yet he is there. He's always willing to listen and help us, and he has the answers to all of our problems. In John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And once again, there's no other way into heaven other than to Jesus. And the gift of God, and John 3:16 we've already read, that I'm going to go down to verse 21. "He that doeth truth cometh to the light, but that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." When we really humble our heart and we come to God and we just are open with him, and he receives us into his family, you know, we aren't going to run and hide like Adam did when he and Eve messed up in the garden there. They disobeyed God and immediately ran and hid. But when we are seeking truth and we want that fellowship, you know, we can come into his presence, and he will be there, he'll manifest himself to us. And 1 John 4:9 says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And I thank the Lord once again, you know, for that wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. And he sent his Son into the world. Even when we were yet in sin, we didn't care whether we pleased the Lord. We were just doing our own thing, and we're just going the way of the carnal man, and just whatever pleasures and things we wanted to seek after in this world, we did. We didn't really even think about God, but yet he was reaching out to us. He was trying to win us to him, and he didn't give up on us. And he has that Holy Ghost hound, the Holy Spirit, that keeps pressing after us, keep coming after us. And I can look back years in the past, you know, and how he's worked in my life. And many times, you know, when I went astray, and the Lord sent someone across my path, they were trying to invite me back to church. They were trying to get me to have that fellowship with the Lord. And, you know, it's my turn now to help others find Christ and reach out to him and be saved. And we can return the blessing that God has given us. You know, he's called us to go into all the world and win others to him, tell them about Jesus. And it's like Brother Timmy said, we are be that light, reflecting Jesus in the world. And Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord said he had his everlasting love. And our love, sometimes it grows cold. And we can look in Revelations 2:4, and it talks about the church of Ephesus. It says they left their first love. It says, repent, do thy first works, or else, you know, they would be in trouble. But our love will grow cold if we don't have that fellowship continually with the Lord. We don't stay in relationship with him. And sometimes we get distracted by other things, and you know, we get too busy, and next thing you know, you feel yourself growing cold, and you look back and you say, well, I've not been dedicating that time to seeking after the Lord like I should, like I used to. And that's when we need to wake up, you know, and turn and get back in where we need to be with the Lord. And I've been reading through my Bible for, it's going on the third year now, every day, you know. Some 2 or 3 days I've missed, and I went back and had to read 2 days at once. But most every morning I get up around 4:20, and I have about 30 minutes or so. I read my Bible, that 2 or 3 chapters, and if I don't get it done at home, if I stop and get some breakfast or something, I got a Bible in my toolbox. I'll pull it out and read it, and I'll do it there or at home. One, I'll try to get it done early in the morning. There's a couple of times I had to do it in the evening, you know, get sidetracked. But most of the time, I keep reading that word. And you can read it over and over. And, you know, you think you know it, but yet there's something that always pops up, you know, that wow, I've never seen that before. And it just comes alive. And it's an everlasting word. It's never going to pass away. And it's beneficial. It's a living word. Excuse me. And if we reject Christ, rejection of him means death. And if we fail to accept him as our Savior, you know, there's only hope is Jesus. You know, there's no other way we're going to make it into heaven. And he's the only foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Says, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. That fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And Jesus is that chief cornerstone. When he was rejected of man, but he became that chief cornerstone. He's the head over the church, and he has the eminence over the church. And I'm thankful, you know, as long as we stay in fellowship with him, we stay true to his word, hide it in our heart, you know, there's no reason why we cannot make it into heaven. He's going to see to it. You know, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that starts us out believing in him, and then he finishes. He takes us all the way through. All we got to do is just continue on, keep pressing on. Ephesians 2 and 20, it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for habitation of God through the Spirit." So I'm thankful that we're part of that church. You know, we are used by the Lord. He allows us that blessing to be used when we are obedient to him and we do what he says to do, go talk to others. We be that example for them, and we help them come to know Christ. But then there, he blesses us, but all we're doing is just being obedient to him, just letting him have his way in us. You know, it's not hard. And Brother Pepper talked about a young man. I was going to the detention center at the same time. At the time Brother Pepper met this person, is I won't say his name. I know it right in my mind. I can name it. But he said it's not hard to be a Christian. All you got to do is just learn to submit to the Lord and just obey him. Just let him have his way in you. And it's not complicated. And the Lord made it simple that none of us need to go astray or mess up. You know, all we got to do is just follow what he tells us to do and yield ourselves to him and be obedient. And Christ is that interceding priest in Hebrews 7:25. I'm thankful that even when Jesus was on the cross, he looked down and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But even after that, after he ascended back to the Father there in heaven, he's still interceding for us yet today, going to the Father. It says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And with someone like Jesus praying for you, he knows how to pray. And the Lord, God, he hears him. And so we know, you know, it's beneficial for us, you know, what the Lord Jesus is doing for us in heaven, being that interceding priest for us. And he is a mediator, 1 Timothy 2 and 5. Mediator is someone that represents you, going on behalf of you, trying to help you. And 1 Timothy 2 and 5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am." I'll stop there. But anyway, it says there's only one mediator between God and man, that is Jesus Christ. So he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In Revelations 1 and 18 says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death." So he has been victorious over the devil. We know how it ends in the back. You know, the devil's going to be put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's going to be bound. He's going to be loose for a short season. He'll go out and deceive the nations once again. But after that, he's going to end up in the lake of fire, and we will have no more tempter, no more devil to mess with us in the next life. But we'll be there with Jesus in heaven, those that make it into heaven. And it says, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." That's the last invitation to come to Jesus. That's in Revelation 22:17. That invitation goes out to all. It says, whosoever will. It doesn't matter your age, your sex, you know, whether you're young, old, your education or anything else. It's just a matter of, are you willing to submit and let the Lord have His way? Do you want Him as your Lord? And I'm thankful that He loved me enough to send someone across my path and witness to me. And when I was just a young boy there, and my mom and my brother and I were out in the yard. I don't know if my sister was even born at that time. It's been a long time ago. But a young fella came around town. He was witnessing, inviting people to church, and he invited me to a summer vacation type a thing there, little crafts and things. And I went, and me and my brother, and I ended up getting saved. And I enjoyed it, just had a ball. And it was a little Baptist church, and I started out. And then not long after that, my family didn't take me to church or anything. We moved off to Texas for a few months, and then we moved back and to a different place in Sepulpa. But I didn't go to church. Family didn't take me, but later on, my mom and dad bought a house in Mounds, and there's a young man there. He was a preacher. He was just a teenager. I was a freshman in high school. His name's Randy Courtney. I'd walk home every day and walk along with him. He kept inviting me to church, you know, kept working on me, and okay, you know, I will one of these days, you know. And eventually, I gave in, and I went and rededicated my heart to the Lord, and just haven't regretted a bit. It was a Pentecostal church this time. It wasn't Baptist, but it was a little different. And thank the Lord, you know, wasn't long after that when the Holy Spirit came into my heart. But John 1 and 3 tells us our Lord is also a creator. We know He created all things for His pleasure. And says nothing was made without Him. And find the place here. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. And Jesus is that light. And He was, like I said, the Creator, everything that was made, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they were all there. And it says, in the beginning. And the Lord, back in Genesis, talks about how the Spirit moved upon the face. Let me turn back here. I can't remember exactly how it's worded. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And anyway, everything was created. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit was there working together. But I'm thankful. We look back, you know, the first thing He did is turn the light on. And you go to a workshop, you turn the light on, you can see what you're doing. And God did that. Even though He can see in the dark, He has night vision. He doesn't need the light, but, you know, He knows all things going on, whether in darkness or in the light. But He is that light also to the world. We can look back all the way to the other end of the Bible. It talks about when we get to heaven, there will be no need for the sun or the moon, because the glory of God's going to light the heaven up there in New Jerusalem. But we are such a blessed people. All we have to do, you know, is just learn to obey Him. In Hebrews 5 and 9, says, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. And we're not going to get to heaven without obeying him. We can't tell him what to do. And he's the Lord. And we're the ones that are subject to him. We are. He is our master, our creator. He is our everything, our healer, our protector, our provider. You know, anything you need, God is that for us. And only Jesus. There's so many ways he is unique. We can just think, let our minds run wild and think about anything that we need and how it will be provided, and we can go back to Jesus. He is that's going to provide for us. And he's our Prince of Peace. He's our deliverer. He's delivered us from our past sins and any thing, just like the different hang-ups people get along the way, and he is able to deliver, whether it be demon oppression or, you know, drugs or alcohol or anything that is ungodly. He can deliver us from it, and he is all-powerful. And I'm thankful, you know, that we have a right to that tree of life it talks about in Revelations, and we'll live forever with the Lord. And well, can't find the scripture I was looking for, but behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city. And we can look back how Jesus put the angels there at the garden. He protected that tree. He didn't want man to partake of it in the sinful state. But later on, we see how he's made it available to us. Once we get to heaven, we can partake of that tree of life and live forever. But we're going to be in a blessed state. He didn't want us to be in a miserable state like this world is in right now. But one day, you know, we won't be tempted with the things we're tempted with here. It's going to be a wonderful place he's prepared for us. And I just love my Lord and thank him for what he has done for me, and not for me only, but all of you also, those that are willing to accept him. And so, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Christ be with you all. Amen. And truly it is his grace that makes it available to us, the salvation. We don't deserve it. Grace means unmerited favor. Nothing we've done to deserve heaven or the fellowship with the Lord, but just that great love that God had for us to give his only begotten Son for paying the penalty for us, that we could have that fellowship once again with him. But, turn it back to you, Pastor.